Noise department.
I have to admit, though, when I was studying, all I wanted was beer. Because I was studying so much with wine that it became work.
Yes.
And so then, especially after an exam and after tasting and my taste buds were shot, you know, my husband's like, let's get a bottle of champagne. I'm like, I want beer. I need pizza and I need beer.
This is Thirst Trap, a beverage industry podcast. And I'm your host, Tracy Bradley.
I am so excited today because, I mean, for many, many reasons about this guest that we have with us today, but I'm very pleased to welcome Raquel Jacobs.
Thank you.
She's a female sommelier. And so we've never had a somm on here before, let alone a female somm. And we already know how I feel about powerful women in the beverage industry. So, I'm meeting her today for the first time, and I am finding her just absolutely lovely. And I'm so excited to have her here. So welcome, Raquel.
How are you? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and chat about wine and all things beverage and women empowering.
Yes, I love it. Yeah. I love it. So what's up? Tell me about you. Like, what made you decide to do this? And
so I've been in the wine industry for 20 years now. This is my 20th year actually studying wine. I started when I was 18.
Okay.
And I've always loved and had an interest in wine. My parents drank wine, you know, as kids. And so they always drank good wine at that as well. But I took it seriously when I started working in the restaurant industry. And I was a hostess. I worked for a fine dining steakhouse, and I'm from Southern California. So I worked for Mastro's Steakhouse, if you're familiar.
Yeah.
Great, great company to work for. And I started there. I was kind of noticing I was on my own, moved out of the house, trying to make money, do my thing.
Right.
And I noticed that a lot of these servers and bartenders and, you know, somms on the floor, they were really just so knowledgeable, very confident, very poised. And I just wanted to learn more. I was very curious. I was hungry. I was young. And so I was gracious enough to have a colleague, a friend who is a server, who is one of the lead servers, actually, sit down with me one day and tell me about wine, you know, tell me about the champagne method, tell me about different varietals and the winemaking process and what really goes into it. And it's just much more complex than it leads on to be. So from that day, I was actually hooked. I was sitting at a Starbucks. I'll never forget it. It's pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I still have those notes.
I have all of my wine notes from when I had to complete the Gallo Wine Academy.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to throw away things that you put so much time and effort into. At least I have still all my notes from every single thing I've ever studied in regards, well, to wine and college and some high school, maybe. I'm a bit of a hoarder when it comes to paperwork, I think, but all organized, I swear.
Yes.
But when it comes to something as passionate as wine, and I'm always kind of going back to my notes to see how much, you know, the wine world has progressed and see what I can kind of learn from back then versus now. And I don't know. It's hard to throw all those note cards away.
You
have thousands.
Because you never know if you're going to need to go back and revisit that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, things like that.
I mean, when I was studying, so to answer your question, started 18. But I really took it serious, and I was able to take the test when I was 21, the first exam, the intro for the Court of Master Sommeliers. Mm-hmm. I took a break to pursue dance. So I did that. Okay. And I kind of came back to it years later when I moved to Vegas and I tried to figure out what I wanted to do. And I picked back up. I had to retake the intro just because so many years passed.
Oh.
So took it pretty fairly quickly and then really dove into it. So I would say a good 5 straight years dedicating wine, you know, wine studies.
Right.
It was like college all over again. So I had the wine maps on our wall. I mean, you can ask my husband, you know, he just like literally there was maps and notes like everywhere around the house. It was pretty intense.
Going into Johnson Brothers, okay, just my backstory. Mm-hmm. My parents didn't know anything about wine. Like, they were not wine people. They were more like a nice cocktail.
Yeah.
So, and not even anything fancy. I mean, the fanciest drink I think that they ever crafted at home, like that I can remember, was a Harvey Wallbanger in the 80s.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, their idea of wine was like a what they called a nice white Zinfandel.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm like, then, you know, I got hired at Johnson Brothers. I didn't know when I was hired at Johnson Brothers, I didn't even know what a wine varietal was or what that meaning meant. I didn't know. But then I learned everything I could, and I was salesperson of the year my first year there.
That's awesome.
Because I like to learn. I like to be passionate about what I do and learn. And then my first wine country trip, then I was hooked. I wanted to know everything about winemaking. And
that's when you got the wine bug.
That's when I got it. Yeah, absolutely.
The wine bug, when it gets you, it gets you.
So I'm actually looking in right now to doing the intro course.
Do it. Let me know. Let me know if you need anything at all.
I will.
I always love passing it on. I think an important aspect of studying, you know, for your certifications, whichever direction you go, whether it's the Court of Master Sommeliers, whether it's the WSET, and there's so many avenues you can choose from, mm-hmm. or you can choose all of them. But I think one thing that's really important when it comes to studying is making sure that you associate yourself with good mentors that can guide you, that can keep you grounded. Study groups is really great. And not only that, but passing it all along too, passing it down. So when you get up to a certain point, making sure that you pay it forward and you, you know, assist in any way you can and bestow the knowledge that you've learned from, you know, studying and your mentors and passing it down, because it really does. It actually makes me feel much better. And I kind of relearn as I teach. And that's one aspect of the wine, of my wine career, that I've really loved the most is education and teaching my staff.
It's great.
Yeah.
So
you got this.
During WSWA last week, mm-hmm. or last month, like end of January, was it? Yes. Now, yep. I got to meet, and he was one of the last guests that I had on here. He was a French winemaker from Saint-Tropez. I mean, so I got to hang out with him all week, and he was just this lovely man. But this wine, and now that I know you, like, you and I are going to have to.
We'll have to try.
I'm going to have to chill it, and we're going to have to. You need to try this wine because it blew me away.
Really?
I've had French rosé before, but not like this.
So it's from Saint-Tropez.
It's from Saint-Tropez, and there's five varietals in the wine. So it's a wine that just happens to be a rosé. It's like,
oh,
it just knocked my socks. Like, I was floored. I'm like, I feel that I was lied to this whole time about these rosés that people were putting in front of me. That
rosé, I think, is underestimated. People underestimate the power of rosé. It can go with anything and everything, in my opinion. I mean, for the most part. I love rosé.
I do. I love it now even more that I've tasted an actual, you know, like one that he knows what he's doing. And just, you know, and then the story behind the winery, and just, he was so lovely and sweet and nice. And you know,
that's where it gets you. It's like the story,
that's
blood, sweat, and tears that they go through to make these wines. And I think that's what gets us attached to certain brands.
And that's
right?
My jam. Like, I love a good story. I love talking about these products, and this is the story, and this is where the name of the winery came from. And you know, I love that. And I feel like it makes it a little more personal.
It does. We were talking about education,
right?
And empowering our staff. You know, I revamped the wine list at the brewery,
right,
at Beer Zombies Brewing, and education and allowing our staff to taste and telling them the story about these wines that, you know, are behind the actual wine in the bottle. It goes a long way, and it gives them the opportunity to sell genuinely to the guest,
right,
and be passionate about it. Even if they don't love the wine, they're like, hey, this is a really cool, different wine. This is a Cabernet Sauvignon, but it's from Columbia Valley, Washington. You
right.
know, it's a little different, but you should try it. And if not, guess what? That's okay. We have something else for you.
Right.
So it's definitely making sure that not only our staff is educated, but whenever I do wine events, wine and cheese events, or, you know, my friend and I, we do this thing called Wine and Wick, where we do wine tasting and candle making. And we had the first one. I know, you should have come to the last one. It was like a few weeks. It was last week. It was last week.
Did I not know about this?
We'll do more.
Okay.
We're doing more.
Okay.
So it's Brew and Bougie, and Marissa and Doreen are the co-founders. They're out of Boulder City, but they service Las Vegas as well.
Okay.
And so we were doing them at, we were having the events at our bar at Beer Zombies in Boulder City. Mm-hmm. And we have a great loyal following there, and we're taking it to the brewery now. And we did our first event in that back room, and it was so much fun. I greet them with a little bit of bubbles. And then we do two wines, a white and a red. And I come by a couple of times while they're making their candles. They're putting the little flowers and the toppings on. They get to choose their scents. It's like a whole night. It's a whole evening. I say a whole evening. It's like 2 hours. But it's
depending on your schedule, that's a whole evening.
And that's exactly. Yes. With a three-year-old, it's a whole evening.
Yeah.
But it's fun to be able to share stories like that. Getting back to what we were talking about. Getting to expose different people to not only different wines that they may have not tried before, but sharing stories, you know, why I'm passionate about this wine. I met the winemaker, you know, he's from Saint-Tropez. He's, you know, you fell in love with his family and how they descend. There's so many things that go into wine. Mm-hmm. A lot of times in France and in Europe, and they have been passed down from generation to generation. And so it really is in the family. And so I love when things kind of align and when people come together and find that like aha moment. And it's fun. It's fun to share that with people.
Definitely. I mean, that got me re-energized again to start pursuing more wine-centric brands.
We need to get a little pep in our step.
Yes,
wine.
It really did. It just definitely changed my focus for sure.
Good. I love wine.
Yes.
I have to admit though, when I was studying, all I wanted was beer because I was studying so much with wine that it became work.
Yes.
And so then, especially after an exam and after tasting and my taste buds were shot, you know, my husband's like, let's get a bottle of champagne. I'm like, I want beer. I need pizza and I need beer.
Well, he's definitely the right person to go to for that.
He is. He is. Yeah.
So you had that set for you.
I've got a connection.
Yeah, you do, for sure.
I've got the connection. But I am seriously the biggest weakling when it comes to drinking now.
I just say, I'm just not that person anymore. That's just not.
I swear, I feel like if I have more than two glasses of wine, I suffer for like 2 days straight.
Yeah,
my body can't do it anymore. I think I just, I overdid it.
Yeah, maybe if it's over two, then I'm hurting.
But I think also, you know, since becoming a new mom, you know, I didn't drink obviously when I was pregnant, you know, I was nursing. And so there was a good period of time where I wasn't drinking at all that I think my tolerance just, you know, is different now. But I'm actually appreciate it more.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just a different phase in life.
You know,
that's all.
I keep some nice bottles in the house. And I mean, I bought one of my favorite bottles last week and I still haven't opened it yet.
What is it?
Oh, I mean, and this is stupid. It's just my go-to. It's Alamos Malbec.
Yeah.
Something about it, just like, it doesn't disappoint.
It hits. Yep.
It does hit. You know, it's not even an expensive bottle or even the best Malbec ever. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with the good Alamos Malbec sometimes.
I feel like it's always nice to be able to find those everyday wines that you can always count on. Mm-hmm. And with my events, I always try and find those too that are still in the market. Some of them are not in the market.
Right.
But then there's some wines that I'll try and, okay, can they source this locally? Is this easy to get?
Right.
And then that way they can find something that they can enjoy, you know, on a weekly basis
whenever
they want.
Whenever the mood hits.
Whenever the mood hits.
Yeah. And you want to experience something different. But I do want to circle back to the importance about staff training, because it is so important.
It's very important to have staff training.
Yes.
And, you know, I just had an experience recently of just a server. And of course, I would never name names and I would never name a restaurant, because everyone works hard and everyone tries to do their best. And sometimes we just don't have the resources to maneuver a situation and to correct a to correct a mistake.
Yeah.
And so we always have to, I always try to make sure I keep that in mind and be mindful of that whenever I'm going out. And it's hard being in the industry for so long, and especially with my husband. I mean, he's been in the industry longer than me. I have my mother-in-law who's in the industry. And so it's sometimes it's hard to turn it off.
Right.
But we always try and make sure, like, all right, you know, maybe they're having a bad day, or maybe they didn't have the resources to,
right,
or they weren't trained properly.
Right.
And so for that, I can understand, but it just goes to show you how important, regardless of whether it's beverage, regardless of, you know, if it's service, anywhere, training is just so important. Knowledge is power. And I always tell, you know, I always told my staff that, and, you know, I would always get the giggles, like, gosh, Raquel, you're so lame. You're such a nerd. But it really is true. Because then when you have the knowledge, you can speak confidently to your guest.
Exactly.
You can speak genuinely, you know, with this knowledge in your head. You can talk to them, be like, hey, this Cabernet or this wine is sourced here, and this is 2022. It was this, you know, they had this kind of weather. And when you have, you gain trust with the guest. Mm-hmm. And that's what I told, you know, that's what I told my staff recently when we did the brewery. And, you know, I told everyone there, like, when you get the trust for wine, especially when we're a brewery, it's going to create a completely different experience.
Definitely.
Even a beer drinker be like, wait, what's that? All right, let me have a sip. You know, maybe they won't have a full glass, but maybe they'll keep that in mind for next time, or they'll think of their friend who's into wine, be like, hey, you know what? I'm not into wine, but, you know, they have good wine here, you know, come check it out.
Definitely.
And so I definitely agree with you.
Well, I saw your new wine up at the brewery, and I was absolutely impressed.
Thank you.
100%. I mean, and just so you know, when they moved into that location, those were the wines that I sold in there that had been there this whole time.
Yeah.
Like, they had never changed it ever. And I was very impressed that you had brought in a Cabernet from the Columbia Valley.
The Metier.
Yeah, it was.
The Lille.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have any that day. I should have, am still going to.
Well, if you're coming tomorrow to our birthday bash.
There's a birthday bash tomorrow?
Oh, we can chat about that in a moment. But yes.
Oh, okay.
So tomorrow you'll have to come and play.
Will you be there?
Of course.
Okay.
You would not miss it.
Okay. Yes.
We'll have to pace ourselves to do a little wine tasting and
yes.
Beer.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm glad pacing myself. It. I just, you know, I was talking to Katie about it, and I was like, really? That's interesting. Because A, when you're at a brewery, you're not thinking about wine per mm-hmm. se. But it's also nice to have a nice selections in case there is, if you accompany someone to a brewery, but beer is not really your jam. And
there's definitely a method to the madness.
There is. And so, yeah, she was telling me about it. She's like, no, it's really good. And, you know, Raquel did a really good job on this new.
Thanks,
so,
Katie.
Yeah, I was excited about it. And then.
I appreciate that. I think that when it comes to wine lists, especially when the wine is not the center of the venue.
Right.
You know, this is my, I have a wine program at our location, our Beer Zombies in downtown Summerlin.
Okay.
And it's a little larger than the brewery. But we wanted to see how well this does first. You know, one SKU of bubbles, two whites, light to medium style, right. And a full body, or Chardonnay, right? Mm-hmm. And then two reds, light and more full body.
Right.
And that's really all you need. You know, I didn't want to overwhelm anyone trying to order wine either. And I want to see where it goes. But okay. Adding an Albariño from Uruguay, Chris, for sure. My husband thought I was little cuckoo. He said, are you sure this is going to work? I said, I do think so. And guess what? If not, we'll switch it. I mean, it's an easy switch, but I do have every faith and confidence that if the bartenders, which they do an amazing job and they're so good at what they do, and we absolutely love them. And when they tried that, I was just watching everybody. All right, what's my reaction? And a couple of people were so pleasantly surprised. One, a couple of people, I've never even heard of Albariño. Two, you know, if the people who knew, they're like, wait, it's from Spain. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, it originates from Spain, yeah. But where where it's geographically located, it has a lot of the same influences that Albariño receives from Rías Baixas, which is northwest Spain, the close proximity to the ocean, to the Atlantic. And so you get a lot of that salinity influence. You get the oyster shell and exactly what you would want. Minerality, the acidity is very bright and light, but still being floral, you know, jasmine and orange blossom. You still receive all of those notes. And the same goes for Albariño in Uruguay. Where it's located and where they source their grapes, it is close proximity to the ocean. And so when you have things that are familiar, but from maybe somewhere else, or it's created in a different way, or it's treated a different way, sometimes you would be surprised. You're like, I would have never thought I would like something like this. And so that circles back to training. But I mean, I think this list is doing well so far, and people are liking it.
I'm excited. Now I need to go and try that. And then one thing that I just definitely want to communicate to the listeners is the correct pronunciation of sommelier.
Yes.
There's no N.
No.
And that is a pet peeve of mine when they say sommelier.
I've heard it many times.
There's
I've heard it said
no
many
N
times.
In sommelier.
Sommelier.
Just like when we're talking about Hefeweizen.
Yeah.
There's no, it's not Hefeweizen.
Hefeweizen.
Yeah. There's no N and there's not two N's. There's just the one.
That's why it's easy to sometimes to just say Somm.
Somm.
Just say Somm.
Yes. So if you don't want to pronounce the whole word, just say Somm, because there's no N in sommelier.
I've heard so many different ways of saying it, especially when I'm working, but you just roll with it. It's okay. Say, sure,
you know what it means.
Yeah.
We're not going to nitpick, but yes.
But I hear you.
Just because I have a lot of listeners, like even family of mine in Indiana, that and Jasmine, I'm talking about you. But anyway, no, she was very excited. My very first podcast, you know, she listens. She's in Wabash, Indiana.
Okay.
And my first guest was my friend Lauren, and she brought a Vietnamese whiskey, I think.
Oh, cool.
And so I went through the steps of how to properly taste whiskey. And she's like, Jasmine said, I know how to properly taste whiskey now.
I think especially in our industry, if we're serving the wine, we should know how to say it right.
Yes. Yes. For sure. Well,
that's a pet peeve of mine.
Us, yes. Well, is there anything else that you want to talk about?
So I don't think we really introduced that I'm with Beer Zombies. My husband is Chris Jacobs, and he owns Beer Zombies. And when we say the brewery, that's what we're referring to. We have different locations around the valley, and we're having a fun birthday bash celebrating 10 years of Beer Zombies.
Oh, fun.
And we're just having some DJs and live band. We have tacos. And we have all the things. And so this is just the beginning. And the great thing about what my husband does is that he puts so much hard work into everything that he does. But he always makes time, and he balances himself with family. And so we do the same. And, you know, we kind of switch off. I'm like, okay, I have a wine event. He comes home, you know, stays home with the kids. I go out. So we're always kind of juggling and balancing. But, you know, this is definitely, hopefully, the beginning of the wine aspect of Beer Zombies. And hopefully, you know, I'm a stay-at-home mom right now, but I'm doing some fun events. And
I think it's great, though. I mean, that's what got my attention, and that's what got me to invite you on here, was because of the new wine lineup at Beer Zombies at the brewery location on Bonanza. So, you know, again, Katie gave you full credit. She said, yep, it's Chris's wife, and you should have her on as a guest. And I was like, would she do that? And she said, I think that she probably would. She's really, really cool. And I'm like, thanks. Okay. So, and here we are.
Well, I was very excited to you know, to be invited to do this podcast.
Of course.
And I was telling you earlier that I didn't know what to kind of expect. Was this like, you know, because of, you know, Beer Zombies? Like, what is this? Because there's different, you know, avenues that I align myself with. You know, there's Beer Zombies. I try, you know, I'm semi-retired. I was working on the strip as a sommelier for many years. And, you know, now I'm a stay-at-home mom. So it's just transitioning and kind of juggling different hats. But I was just really, really honored when you said, oh, no, I just want to talk to you. Yeah. I'm like, wait, to me?
Yeah, I just want to talk to you.
Me, are you sure?
This really wasn't anything about...
So I appreciate that.
Thank about you. Chris or beer or anything. Just you.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
Of course.
And it's all worth it in the end. I mean, I'm the happiest 100%. I've ever been in my entire life. But it's nice to be able to, oh, yeah. I've done that. I've mm-hmm. been there.
Yeah, it's always important to know that you are a person, and before all of these things in your life happened, that you were a person.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So
I've had a pretty great life.
And I love that. I love it.
Just getting started, though.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me, Tracy. You're the best. And I can't wait to come back.
I'm Tracy Bradley, and that's the Thirst Trap Podcast. Produced and edited by Gonzo Greg Spillane for Noise Department. Our theme music is composed and performed by Jose Torres. Please like and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcasts, and share with your friends and associates in the beverage industry or anybody who drinks things. You can always visit and contact me at thirsttrappodcast.com, and you can find links to all the socials there as well. Till next time, cheers.